Imagine walking down a dimly lit street, your phone buzzing with notifications. You're distracted, head down, completely unaware of the two men who've been following you for three blocks. This is precisely the scenario former CIA officer Jason Hansen wants to help you avoid. His book, Spy Secrets That Can Save Your Life, has become a surprise bestseller, endorsed by celebrities like Tim Ferriss and featured on Shark Tank, where Hansen secured investment from Damon John. The book's cultural impact stems from its unique premise that ordinary citizens can benefit from the same situational awareness and safety techniques used by intelligence professionals. In a world increasingly concerned with personal safety, Hansen's approach offers something rare, practical knowledge that empowers rather than frightens. Drawing from his unusual journey from Eagle Scout to police officer to CIA operative to family man. The skills in this book aren't just about knowing what to do. They're about developing the confidence to act decisively in emergencies. This survival intelligence is the foundation for everything else. It's about responding quickly and intelligently during a crisis using whatever tools are available. Life rarely follows our carefully constructed plans. While having emergency procedures memorized is valuable, what truly saves lives is adaptability. The ability to apply skills in unexpected situations with whatever tools you have at hand. Physical strength might help in certain scenarios, but without adaptability, its value is limited. When facing a threat you've never encountered before, the ability to think on your feet becomes your greatest asset. Self-reliance is equally crucial. Many tragic situations occur partly because people depend too heavily on others for their safety. Having both the necessary tools and the ability to act independently during emergencies can make all the difference. Terrorist attacks and natural disasters have repeatedly shown that in the aftermath of a crisis, people must often fend for themselves. Some are prepared, others aren't. Interestingly, self-reliance serves a dual purpose. Beyond ensuring your own survival, it puts you in a position to help others. By mastering these skills and embracing self-sufficiency, you become more valuable to those around you during emergencies. The concept of don't be a hero might seem counterintuitive, but it's about having the wisdom to walk away from potential confrontations. Hansen recalls jogging in Baltimore when he noticed two suspicious men positioning themselves to trap him. Rather than letting ego drive him into danger, he simply crossed a street while maintaining eye contact. Similarly, when a drunk mistook him for someone else at a gas station, he diffused the situation with a simple, no problem, rather than escalating. The most skilled operatives Hansen met in the CIA were often the quietest. They had nothing to prove. Being smart about when to use your skills is just as important as having them. Perhaps the most critical rule is that movement saves lives. Intelligence professionals call this getting off the X, removing yourself from the danger zone. Whether facing an attacker with a knife or surviving a plane crash, those who move are the ones who survive. Many people freeze during emergencies, like plane crash survivors who die because they can't unbuckle their seatbelts. Your ability to move quickly can be the difference between life and death. Perception matters tremendously in survival situations. Small changes in how you present yourself can make criminals pass you by. Ask yourself, do I look like an easy victim? Does my house appear uninhabited? Am I walking confidently? Being aware of perceptions, both yours and others, plays a key role in staying safe. Understanding what's normal, the baseline, for any environment is crucial for recognizing threats. Without knowing what's typical for your home, neighborhood, or workplace, you can't recognize when something's wrong. Is this street always this crowded? Is this noise level normal? Establishing baselines helps you identify potential threats before they materialize. The cornerstone rule underpinning everything else is situational awareness. No amount of training can keep you safe if you're distracted by your smartphone while walking down the street. Situational awareness isn't about paranoia, it's about maintaining a healthy sense of what's happening around you, enabling you to avoid danger before it strikes. Situational awareness, The most important skill Hansen learned in the CIA can prevent dangerous encounters before they occur. He once saved himself and his wife from a potential mugging in Baltimore by noticing a suspicious man crossing their path repeatedly and staring him down. By confronting him with a simple question about the time, he removed the element of surprise and showed he was alert. The man immediately left. Most people today are distracted by phones or thoughts, making them vulnerable. In San Francisco, a man was punched and robbed while texting in daylight. A comedian in New York fell onto subway tracks while texting, and a 15-year-old girl was killed crossing against a light while texting. Being alert to your surroundings prevents these tragedies. Understanding the Cooper color codes helps structure situational awareness. Condition white, completely unaware. Condition yellow, relaxed alertness with head up and aware of surroundings. Condition orange, specific alert when something feels threatening. And condition red, crisis condition, mentally prepared to fight or escape. People in condition yellow are difficult to surprise and notice potential threats with time to respond. Maintaining condition yellow awareness prevents dangerous situations. A course graduate named Heather avoided a carjacking at a gas station by staying alert, noticing men approaching from unusual directions, keeping her keys, not phone, in hand, and being ready with her tactical pen. When she recognized the threat pattern, she immediately escaped. The most critical concept in any emergency is to move, what Hansen calls getting off the X. People who move survive, while freezing gets you injured or killed. Whether facing an attacker with a knife or evacuating before a storm, movement saves lives. Attacks rarely happen without warning signs. Pre-incident indicators are predictable behavioral patterns criminals exhibit before attacking. Three key indicators to watch for: intense staring, predators lock on to targets, pacing, matching your walking or driving speed unnaturally, and distraction techniques, criminals working in pairs, with one person distracting while another attacks. Normalcy bias, our tendency to minimize threats and maintain routine during emergencies, can be deadly. During 9/11, Penelope saw smoke pouring from the towers but rationalized it as a small plane accident and continued her subway commute into Manhattan. Normalcy bias leads to dangerous behaviors, not taking disaster seriously, failing to prepare adequately, and believing that unprecedented events won't happen. Establishing a baseline, understanding what's normal in any situation, helps identify potential dangers. Like Sherlock Holmes observing minute details to deduce information, we must train ourselves to notice subtle changes in environments and behaviors. When something feels wrong, trust that instinct. Boston Marathon bombing survivor Aaron Saris knew a loud explosion on a clear day wasn't thunder and immediately took action. Catherine Walton, caught in a Nairobi Mall terrorist attack with her 5 children, reacted instantly to very loud explosions. Both women refused to let normalcy bias cloud their judgment. Criminals consistently target people operating in condition white, heads down, absorbed in phones, oblivious to surroundings. When interviewed in prison and shown photos of potential victims, they invariably choose the distracted ones. By practicing situational awareness, walking confidently in condition yellow with your head up and hands free, you dramatically reduce your chances of becoming a target. The world is unpredictable, and simple tools can mean the difference between life and death. From families trapped in snowbound vehicles to hurricane survivors stranded without supplies, history shows that preparation matters. Knowledge may be the most important tool, but having the right equipment for emergencies can save your life when circumstances suddenly turn dangerous. Despite popular misconceptions about intelligence officers carrying exotic gadgets, the items Hansen carries are practical, affordable, and potentially life-saving. His everyday pocket carry includes a quality pocket knife clipped to his pants for easy access, a concealed firearm with proper licensing and training, a basic cell phone for emergency calls, bobby pins hidden in his belt, a paracord keychain for utility and self-defense, a handcuff key, cash for emergencies, and his favorite self-defense tool, a tactical pen made of aircraft-grade aluminum that functions as both writing instrument and weapon. His laptop bag contains additional survival items, a level 3A bulletproof panel for protection against active shooters, spare ammunition, a lockpick set, a poncho for rain protection or emergency shelter, quick clot gauze to accelerate blood clotting for serious injuries, a compact flashlight, a multi-tool, an auto jiggler for accessing older model cars in emergencies, duct tape, a lighter, paracord, and a voice recorder. Since Americans spend over 4 years of their lives in cars, vehicle preparation is critical. Hansen maintains two essential components in his car: a toolbox with practical items like a small axe, tow rope, hand crank radio, and first aid kit, and a 72-hour kit with survival essentials including high-energy food bars, water, purification tablets, emergency radio, flashlight, sleeping bag, poncho, and hygiene supplies. Beyond physical tools, information gathering is crucial for survival. Before traveling abroad, research your destination thoroughly online. Locate hospitals, embassies, transportation options, and escape routes. When in foreign countries, observe what's typical, understand the baseline behavior, dress like locals to avoid becoming a target, and stay vigilant. Intelligence gathering is just as crucial in your own community. Whether you've lived somewhere your entire life or just moved, you need to know key locations, exits and chokeholds, congestion points, hospitals, pharmacies, water sources, police departments, and municipal airports. Having up to a year's supply of food and water provides both emergency preparedness and financial security. The recommendation is 1 gallon of water per person per day, with 7-gallon containers being practical for storage. For food storage, build your supply gradually by collecting canned goods and grains monthly. Keeping at least $1,000 in cash at home provides critical flexibility during emergencies when banks are inaccessible. When criminals restrain victims, they commonly use everyday items like duct tape, zip ties, and rope. Most people mentally surrender once restrained because they don't know escape techniques. Knowing these escape methods provides both practical skills and psychological confidence during dangerous situations. Duct tape is criminals' preferred restraint method because it's fast and effective. The key to escaping isn't strength, but technique, creating the correct angle to tear the tape. When being restrained, position yourself by leaning forward with forearms pressed together, appearing submissive. To break free, raise your arms high above your head, then pull down and outward past your hips in one swift motion. If restrained from behind or injured, find any 90-degree edge and use a sawing motion to break the tape. Zip ties are another common restraint used in kidnappings and assaults. The escape technique is similar to duct tape, but requires more precise execution. While being restrained, extend your arms with forearms pressed together. Once bound, rotate the zip tie lock to the center where your palms meet. To break free, raise your arms high, then pull down and outward past your hips in one swift motion. For rope restraints, position yourself with palms together but elbows apart to create extra space from the curve in your wrists. Once tied, move your arms forward until completely straight with hands flat and pressed together. Then shimmy your hands back and forth quickly until one hand pulls free. Though not a criminal's preferred restraint method, escaping handcuffs requires only simple household items like a bobby pin or barrette. With a bobby pin, straighten it completely, remove the nub from the smooth side, and create a tiny upward bend at the end to form a shovel. Insert this into the keyhole's small slot until it hits metal, then pull down and to the right in two distinct motions. If kidnapped, the first 24 hours are critical for escape, as kidnappers will likely move you multiple times and your physical strength will diminish over time. Act submissive and avoid eye contact to prevent additional security measures, but remain vigilant for escape opportunities. In true emergency situations, certain skills could save your life. Crossing barbed wire fences requires heavy flat material to cover the wire while scaling. Hot wiring cars should only be done in life-threatening emergencies as it causes serious damage. Lockpicking is a skill that's useful in emergencies and can make you the neighborhood hero when someone gets locked out. Home invasions can strike anywhere, as Hansen discovered when a loud noise woke his wife and him at 3 a.m. Following his practiced defense plan, he grabbed his flashlight and gun within seconds and cleared the house, fortunately finding only a fallen air mattress. Many Americans aren't so lucky. With FBI statistics showing 1 in 5 homes will experience a break-in and 30% of violent assaults occurring during home invasions, protecting your home is essential. By adopting a criminal mindset, we can identify vulnerabilities in our homes and make simple, inexpensive changes that will deter potential intruders. Take a walk through your neighborhood with a burglar's perspective. Look for houses with piled-up newspapers, overflowing mailboxes, unmowed lawns, and trash cans left out days after collection, all signals of an unoccupied home. Criminals frequently pose as delivery personnel to gain entry. In incidents across the country, fake FedEx and UPS workers have assaulted, robbed, and even bound homeowners with duct tape. If you're not expecting a package, don't answer the door. When in doubt, find the company's number yourself and call to verify. Be vigilant about removing any markers left on your property, delivery stickers, tape, or jock symbols. Criminal gangs use these to mark homes they've scouted, indicating whether a house is a good target, alarmed, or has vulnerable occupants. If these markers remain in place for days, burglars assume no one is home. Examine your home through a criminal's eyes. Walk the perimeter, looking for potential hiding spots like overgrown shrubs. Be mindful of displaying wealth. Visible expensive electronics or luxury cars advertise valuable contents. Children's toys and garden tools left in the yard aren't just untidy, they're potential break-in tools. Repeat your home assessment after dark to identify vulnerabilities invisible by day. Look for poorly lit areas where intruders could hide, especially near entry points. An open garage door invites trouble, as one Indianapolis family discovered when 4 men entered their home through an unlocked garage, robbing them and shooting the wife in the leg. Beyond physical security measures, you can deter burglars with simple psychological tricks. Security signage, even without an actual system, makes criminals think twice. Large dog bowls by entrances suggest a noisy pet that burglars want to avoid. Fake security cameras with blinking red lights can be as effective as real ones. Criminals won't risk being recorded. Never open your door without knowing who's there. Traditional peepholes work, but upgraded versions allow viewing from 10 feet away. If you don't have a peephole, check through windows first. However, don't simply ignore knocks. Criminals often ring doorbells to determine if anyone's home before attempting entry. Front doors are the entry point for 70% of home invasions, yet most Americans rely on thin doors with basic deadbolts. Standard quickset locks found in most homes can be picked almost as quickly as using a key. Upgrade to sturdier locks from brands like Schlage or Madeco to significantly increase security. Develop and practice a home defense plan before you need it. When facing an intruder, stress impairs cognitive function, so keep your plan simple with 3 key elements: a weapon and flashlight, someone to call 911, and a defensive choke point where you can prevent access to family members. About 95% of criminals head straight for the master bedroom, making it the worst place to store valuables. Consider leaving a small decoy while hiding real valuables elsewhere in the home. Despite sounding corny, hollowed-out books make excellent hiding spots for cash. With numerous books in a home, burglars won't search each one. Air travel remains the safest form of transportation despite occasional emergencies. However, most plane crash victims died not from impact, but from smoke inhalation in post-crash fires. The FAA requires all passengers be evacuated within 90 seconds, the critical time frame before smoke becomes fatal. When faced with a life-or-death airplane emergency, many people freeze from normalcy bias, like the woman who couldn't unbuckle her seatbelt during the US Air collision. Survivors of the 1977 Canary Islands disaster, the worst in aviation history, credit immediate action for their survival. With only 90 seconds before fire consumes the cabin, you must overcome shock and move immediately. In emergencies, people make irrational decisions about possessions. During the U.S. Air collision, a woman's purse caught in the exit because she feared losing credit cards. Another passenger regretted leaving her violin. Despite knowing intellectually that possessions aren't worth your life, you must consciously remind yourself in emergencies to leave everything behind and just move. Contrary to popular belief, sitting in the back isn't always safest. It depends on crash direction. To maximize survival chances, sit within 5 rows of an exit. Even better is sitting in the exit row itself, preferably in an aisle seat, to minimize obstacles between you and escape. Most crashes occur during the first 3 minutes after takeoff or final 8 minutes before landing. During these critical windows, stay vigilant and alert rather than sleeping. Keep your shoes on, avoid distractions, skip pre-flight cocktails, ensure your seatbelt is secure, and count the exact number of seats between you and the nearest exit. Ironically, the taxi ride from the airport is often more dangerous than the flight itself. Whether taking taxis for convenience, safety after a night out, or to avoid walking alone, you're putting yourself in a vulnerable position with a stranger. Beyond safety concerns, taxi scams are rampant worldwide. While many taxi drivers are honest, you must stay vigilant when using cabs. Always follow these rules. Know your route before getting in and insist the driver follows it. Research common scams in your destination. Never let a driver change your destination. Verify legitimacy. Check for door handles, driver ID, medallion, and radio. Avoid unofficial taxis and sharing with strangers. Be patient rather than jumping into the first available cab. Keep windows up to prevent theft. Remain discreet with valuables and trust your instincts when something feels wrong. Hotels present unique safety challenges, from room invasions to devastating fires. To stay safe in hotels, book rooms between the 3rd and 6th floors, avoiding criminal targets on lower floors while staying within fire truck ladder reach. Avoid rooms near stairwells. Be alert for followers when exiting elevators. Always lock your door immediately. Use a door alarm stopper. Locate emergency exits and count doors between your room and exits. Consider smoke hoods and gas masks when traveling to high-risk areas, and pack a hotel escape bag containing rope, gloves, and a heavy-duty carabiner. Hotels present unique safety challenges, from room invasions to devastating fires. To stay safe in hotels, book rooms between the 3rd and 6th floors, avoiding criminal targets on lower floors while staying within fire truck ladder reach. Avoid rooms near stairwells. Be alert for followers when exiting elevators. Always lock your door immediately. Use a door alarm stopper. Locate emergency exits and count doors between your room and exits. Consider smoke hoods and gas masks when traveling to high-risk areas, and pack a hotel escape bag containing rope, gloves, and a heavy-duty carabiner. Most criminals conduct surveillance before committing crimes, as demonstrated by tragic cases like the Cheshire murders, where a family was targeted after being followed home from shopping. By learning counter-surveillance techniques, you can determine if you're being followed and take action to protect yourself. Most people wouldn't recognize surveillance without proper training, as demonstrated when following a friend in Vegas who never noticed. Even amateur surveillance can go undetected by the untrained eye. You don't need to be an intelligence to be followed. Everyday situations like divorce disputes, workplace conflicts, or simply appearing wealthy could make you a target. Running a simple surveillance detection route can confirm if you're being followed. Like Hannah from Brooklyn, who noticed a suspicious man in a department store changing locations multiple times, handbags to perfume to shoes, confirmed he was following her. When confronted or reported to security, most followers will retreat. Maintaining condition yellow awareness helps notice potential followers. Watch for people in places they don't belong, matching your pace, making intense eye contact, or appearing repeatedly in your daily routine. Follow the intelligence rule. One time is an accident, twice is coincidence, 3 times is enemy action. To detect vehicular surveillance, try exiting and re-entering highways, or deliberately slowing down to see if a suspected vehicle matches your pace. If a car consistently follows your unusual driving patterns, you're likely being followed. Once you've confirmed surveillance, confrontation is essential. Like Helen, who turned to face a suspicious follower during her jog, acknowledging awareness often causes criminals to abandon their plans. Intelligence officers use 5 simple counter-surveillance tactics that anyone can execute. The pause and turn technique helps determine if you're being followed and alerts the follower you're aware of them. While walking, simply pause, turn around, and pretend to do something ordinary. Check your phone, tie a shoe, or look for someone. Then look directly at the suspected follower. Once you've confirmed you're being followed, let the person know you're aware of their presence. Most criminals will leave you alone when acknowledged, since they seek ideal victims. Project strength by walking tall with your head up. Make an obvious phone call discussing that someone is following you. If you're being followed, never go home. This is the last place you want a criminal to know about. Instead, stay in crowded, public places like restaurants, cafes, or busy stores and call for help. When a car is following you, keep driving, never go home, change speeds, and make multiple turns to signal your awareness. If you have a problematic relationship with an ex, a harassing former employee, or regularly notice suspicious individuals, operate on high alert with additional precautions. Break your routines by varying departure times, commute routes, and daily activities. Visit different coffee shops and restaurants. Take alternate routes home from work. Working in intelligence essentially turns you into a human lie detector, an invaluable skill when dealing with business associates, employees, neighbors, and others. Humans are naturally terrible liars, giving off subtle clues before they can consciously control them. Before attempting to detect lies, you must establish a person's baseline behavior, their normal mannerisms when telling the truth. This requires 3 key tactics. First, make the person comfortable by sitting them down, offering water, and avoiding situations that might trigger anxiety unrelated to lying. Second, ask questions they already know the answer to and have no reason to lie about, like details about their previous employment. Third, observe them closely during these innocuous exchanges, noting their typical mannerisms like foot tapping, hair tossing, nail biting, facial expressions, eye movements, sighing, throat clearing, or clothing adjustments. Once you've established a person's baseline behaviors, you can begin asking questions related to the suspected lie. Remember that liars rarely exhibit every deceptive behavior. What matters is identifying clusters of behaviors that differ from their baseline. The crucial window for detecting deception is the first 3 to 5 seconds after asking a question related to the lie. During this brief period, a person who's lying may stutter, stumble over details, or struggle to formulate their response as their brain works to create the lie. Deceptive people typically avoid answering questions directly. Instead, they list reasons why you should trust them, highlighting their good character traits or accomplishments. They might mention being an Eagle Scout or volunteering with the homeless, rather than addressing your actual question. While many focus on facial expressions, feet often reveal more about deception. If someone's feet start jiggling when asked a sensitive question, they may be lying. Our feet naturally point where we want to go. Customs agents know that honest travelers face them directly, with feet pointed forward, while those with something to hide often position their feet toward the nearest exit. One major indicator of lying is what Hansen calls the freeze, when someone suddenly becomes unnaturally still, like a tortoise retreating into its shell. Contrary to popular belief, liars often maintain too much eye contact rather than looking down. This overstare happens when someone tries too hard to appear honest by maintaining unnaturally intense eye contact. Liars typically overreact when confronted, responding with extreme anger or outrage to make you feel ridiculous for questioning them. This tactic aims to discourage future questioning. When someone is guilty, they'll typically suggest lighter punishments for the wrongdoing. While innocent people might recommend harsh consequences, guilty parties tend to be more lenient. The timing between head movements and spoken words can reveal deception. When someone answers honestly, their head moves before the words come out. If their head shakes yes or no after they've started speaking, they're likely lying. Liars typically overreact when confronted, responding with extreme anger or outrage to make you feel ridiculous for questioning them. This tactic aims to discourage future questioning. When someone is guilty, they'll typically suggest lighter punishments for the wrongdoing. While innocent people might recommend harsh consequences, guilty parties tend to be more lenient. Bruce Lee famously said, "I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks one time, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times." Self-defense isn't about knowing everything. It's about mastering a few simple techniques that become instinctual. Practicing just 2 minutes daily will eventually make these movements automatic. Despite being highly trained, Hansen always prioritizes de-escalation over fighting. The goal is creating an opportunity to escape and get help, not prolonged engagement. Remember ETGS, escape to gain safety. Target the eyes by gouging or poking, the throat with strikes to the larynx or voice box, the groin with kicks, and the shin by kicking repeatedly or rubbing your foot against exposed skin. If someone grabs your arm, don't step back. This creates a tug-of-war. Instead, step in toward the attacker while bringing your elbow up toward their face. This breaks their grip and allows escape. When grabbed from behind, take a large step backward to throw the attacker off balance. Simultaneously, peel away and potentially break their fingers until they release their grip. When grabbed by the hair from the front, use the ETGS technique since the attacker can't use the hand holding your hair to defend themselves. For a chokehold or aggressive shirt grab, locate the sensitive indentation in the attacker's neck. Jab two fingers quickly and firmly into this spot. This will cause them to gag, drop their chin, and step backward. When threatened, keep your hands up, non-threateningly, as a barrier. For roundhouse punches, keep arms bent upward to crash into their upper arm, then turn toward them and strike the neck. For straight punches, raise your arms to shoulder height and bend forearms up so the punch lands on your elbow, potentially breaking their fingers. The tactical pen is an ideal everyday carry weapon that's allowed virtually everywhere, including airplanes. Made of aircraft-grade aluminum, it's thicker and heavier than regular pens with a sharp point that can break glass or inflict serious damage. When selecting a tactical pen, look for quality construction with a solid metal striking point, a pocket clip for accessibility, a flat cap end for grip and striking power, and refillable ink. Two grip options exist for tactical pens. The underhand grip, like holding a sword, offers less leverage, while the ice pick grip, reverse grip, provides more control and striking power, especially with your thumb positioned on top for support. Accessibility is crucial. Your pen must be immediately available in dangerous situations. Before carrying a knife, research your state's laws. Consider where you'll carry it, your typical clothing, deployment method, and size-weight preferences. Choose a knife you're comfortable carrying daily for consistency in emergency situations. Good knife defense involves angular movements based on triangles. You should rarely move straight forward except when pushing an attacker back forcefully. Practice stepping off the X using angular footwork to avoid attacks. The forward triangle involves stepping off the line at a 45-degree angle while advancing. Step with your left leg first when moving left, right leg first when moving right, always moving away from the threat. Learning to defend yourself requires serious skill and practice. Professional training can teach you vital skills like disarming attackers when a knife is at your throat, chest, or back, handling carjacking situations using your steering wheel's leverage, disarming attackers hiding in your back seat, and defending against home invasions.